My right arm is a little bit sore today.
From?
Flu shot yesterday.
Oh, nice.
At the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. Got my annual physical with Dr. Nicholson here in Ankeny.
All right.
I haven't got the blood test.
Did you get a Hello Kitty Band-Aid?
No, I actually got an Iowa Clinic Men's Center Band-Aid. They have those.
They have a sponsored, branded Band-Aid?
They do.
For you, just for Chris Williams.
And then they took blood in my left arm. So I'm operating it like, I'm like Patrick Mahomes today, like 75%.
But this is like total blood volume. You're like 70% of your total blood volume. Like you're.
How long does it take before my blood is back at 100%?
Like a day.
Seriously?
Yeah.
So if I go and do Jack Whipper's North Ankeny CrossFit here on 70% blood, what happens?
You're probably not on 70% blood unless you did it at like midnight last night, but. I mean, you're probably fine, but if you did, you just get real lightheaded real fast.
Oh, okay. Well, that happens to me every day.
That's just my existence. I wake up and I'm just lightheaded.
And I'm not even going to know. Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamencenter.com, the proud sponsor of the Psych One Fanatic podcast.
We dove right into that. Normally, well, it was like a welcome. Welcoming to the podcast. It's just, no, we're going straight into the Iowa Men's Center and how your flu shot hurts.
Well, it doesn't. Like, it just, you know how a shot feels the day after?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it feels. It doesn't hurt.
But I'm not going to get too big of muscles to make this hurt.
I'm not going
to
get the flu, damn it.
That's true.
Let's just dive right in, Jeff. Iowa State gets annihilated by Texas Tech. I don't even think we need to, like, analyze the game too much just because, I mean, it's Wednesday. People have been there, done that. I know you asked our audience for some questions.
I did.
I have a question.
What's that?
And I think I speak for a lot of people. Defensively. So Wally Burnham's clearly frustrated. I don't know if you saw the video last night.
Yeah, I did.
After Tuesday's practice. He's very frustrated. And rightfully so. I think Wally's got a couple of reasons to be frustrated. One, you just gave up 776 yards to Texas Tech. Two, I mean, I just feel like every year, and the defense, listen, the defense doesn't get a pass because it's been bad too, right? But every year, the offense, I feel, underachieves.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
In some capacity.
Especially in, I will empathize and sympathize with Wally pretty heavily here because were there schematic things that if you were to allow him to do that game different, would he have done differently? Probably, yeah. Like, he's knowing how poorly they are going to tackle, he probably would have moved his corners up. Because the reason why you leave corners back.
That was the question I was going to. Because I'm seeing a ton of that. Why do you have him back 10, 15 yards?
Everybody is asking that question. So
okay,
here
you go.
Here's why you set the corners back. So I'll get back to the first question after I answer this question.
Okay.
So you set the corners back because in an offense like this, they're not throwing the ball down the field 80 yards unless Mahomes scrambles. And then that's just a kind of a broken play street ball touchdown. So if they're on rhythm, they want to throw the ball inside of 10 yards. They want Mahomes to just gun it in there, throwing a fastball. So if you gun it in there and you throw a fastball and you have a corner that's deep, or you have an off corner, well, you're not going to get beat on a 1-2-3 step fade because you're going to be in position for a fade, so you keep everything in front of you. So if you throw a hitch and you're playing soft corners and you come up and tackle, well, instead of having a four-play drive where you get 20 yards, 20 yards, 20 yards, 20 yards, or 20 yards, 20 yards, 60 yards, you're going to get 5-5-5-5-5-5-5. And what you're forcing, if you do it right, if you can tackle, which is what Iowa State did not do on Saturday, if you can tackle and your corners are deep, then at some point that offense is going to get out of rhythm. And that's the bend but don't break that people have been praising Wally for. Like, you know, when Jake and AJ were there, you would give up 400 yards, but you only give up 13 points. Something like that, because you're going to force them to execute their way all the way down the field, and at some point they're going to beat themselves.
Now, Wally Burnham knows more about – he knows a lot more about football than me. I admit that. Here's my problem with that strategy against Texas Tech and TCU – and Baylor. These offenses are so much better than the most of those during the Klein and Knott years, aren't they? I mean, like, to just say, okay, Bryce Petty, I dare you to make a mistake, and the most prolific offense in college football. I mean, these are the 1, 2, and 3 ranked offenses in the nation. Like, to me, I'm not saying I have a better idea, but if I'm going to play devil's advocate to how you just explained it, which you're right, and it did work during a piece of the Paul Rhodes era, but you had linebackers who could tackle. You know what I mean? Like, it was a...
Yeah, no, I totally... That's like, that's why if Wally were to go back and do it again, then your secondary, you don't leave your secondary with that much space,
mm-hmm.
knowing what you know now. So I wouldn't expect to see corners 9 yards off the wide receivers this weekend.
You don't think we'll see that on Saturday against TCU?
The only one I will say that they'll do that against Doxson, because Doxson is too good. I bet they double cover Doxson the entire time.
Yeah, is this – okay.
That's my guess.
Do they not trust the corners?
It's not that they don't trust the corners. It's just against a guy that's that good. I mean, Josh Doxson's an All-American.
Yeah, he's a stud.
You can't cover him one-on-one. You can't cover him with an individual. You have to cover him with a scheme. So you can't just go, you know, whomever you may, Sam, Peavy, Wiltz, whatever. You can't put them one-on-one. Because if they get beat one-on-one, if a lineman gets beat one-on-one and it's a run play, you have someone else to kind of fill in back for it. So it's like a 6-yard gain instead of a 3-yard gain. In a one-on-one situation against the TCU offense, if you get beat one-on-one, Boykin's not going to miss. So you're going to give up a 58, 60-yard touchdown. So I would expect to see a little bit harder corners, at least on one side, because I don't think TCU's got other dudes that are that good. They're good, but I think Iowa State's corners can pretty much kind of match up. But you have to shade everything to Doxson's side. But it's, you know, to get back to Wally's frustration is Iowa State in the first drive on defense – holds them to a field goal. They do exactly what that defense is designed to do against that offense. Bend but don't break. Get them into a situation.
Yeah.
Force a field goal. Great. You did exactly what you're supposed to do. Wally was probably thrilled.
That was a big win.
That was a huge win. It's a thrill. If you can trade sevens for threes, you take that all day. And you get down to the, you know, kick a field goal, you get the ball back. First play of the game, interception. That defense was just on the field for, what, 9 plays? And they did a terrific job of holding Texas Tech's offense out of position. And then all of a sudden, boom, you give the ball back. They have to go back on the field. They give up a touchdown. And then your next drive, yeah, you put one together and you get a touchdown, but you're already down 10 points. Like, the entire purpose of what, you know, what we talked about with taking the air out of the ball and making it playing Snyder ball, the entire purpose of that, the entire way you do that is you have to not get down into a deep hole right away,
yeah,
because it takes away the offense that you want to run. So
do you think that's what happened on Saturday?
It's one of the biggest things that happened.
You think so?
Yeah, okay. Because, yeah, Mike Warren had 245 yards, but a lot of it was in garbage time when they're down by 3 touchdowns.
Exactly.
So if you're down, if say they, instead of turning the ball over on the first down, they run the ball and they get a 9-yard gain, which is, well, let's say Mike runs for his average and he gets an 11-yard pickup.
Yeah.
So you run the ball and then that defense doesn't have, again, the same type of juice that they would have. And you don't even necessarily score, but you take 4 minutes off the clock. Well, all of a sudden you put your defense back out there. They have at least a semblance of rest. The Texas Tech offense can't just monumentally just travel down the field. The fact that the offense was so quick to turn the ball over is one of the main reasons why the defense is so bad. And then at a certain point, there's nothing left. That Iowa State had nothing left, which I don't know if they quit or if it was just a team that was completely fatigued versus a team that wasn't fatigued.
No, that's really good analysis, Jeff. I think that I guess maybe I'm too harsh. I called on Saturday night. I think that they should let Todd Sturdy call plays.
I've thought Todd Sturdy should have been the offensive coordinator when they hired Messingham.
Okay. So, and I don't, here's the deal. Like, I got to be careful with that because I don't know exactly what's going on in there. Like, maybe Mangino's been overruled by some stuff from Rhodes, whatever. I guess the way you just explained it helps me with my sanity for the rest of the year. Being that, you know, get down early. Because my whole deal with Mike Warren, like, if you're averaging 11 yards a carry.
That's 11 yards per play.
Yeah, you're not getting enough carries.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. The only downside of that is you don't want him to break his leg. Like, you don't want him to sprain an ankle because he's tired.
Well, yeah, which is one thing. But, yeah. But like, Jordan Kanziri just ran the ball 43 times, and he's had a freaking ACL tear. I mean, that kid sneezes and he gets hurt. Mike Warren can't handle it against Texas Tech's stick of butter defense.
Wait till you see Kansas State play Texas Tech this year. And I would almost guarantee that it's going to be close because Bill Snyder is going to do exactly what Iowa State wanted to but didn't do. Because they got, I think on that first play, again, if you were to ask Mangino, are there things that you would have done differently?
Had you not gotten down, or
even necessarily just differently in the game, mm-hmm. he would never tell it to the media or he'd never tell it to anybody, but in his own head, he's probably thinking, yeah, I probably shouldn't have thrown that pass on that first down. I would have probably...
Yeah, and in Mangino's defense, it shouldn't have been a pick. It was a terrible throw. I feel for Sam. He's gotten hammered. I thought that was probably his worst game
ever.
Yeah, I thought so too. And I don't want to put you in a weird situation, Jeff. And you're very honest about the fact that you're friends with Sam, and I think our audience totally respects and understands that. I think it's time to change it up.
I'm not
asking for you to say that. I just think that. I feel for Sam because I look at him and I look at a guy who I don't see. He doesn't have that eye of the tiger anymore. And I hope I'm wrong, man. There's nothing I want more than for that kid to totally just prove me wrong and make me eat my words because that would make me a very happy man.
Yeah, it's
because he's a good guy, does it the right way, and I'm rooting for him. But I do think that if we want to play that Bill Snyder style of ball, I think there's another option that might be better suited for the team right now.
And the thing that I'll look at and I can kind of objectively analyze is that on Saturday, Sam's mechanics were just awful. And I don't know where that came from because I know what he's capable of doing. And he'd be the first one to tell you. I don't think he – was he available at media availability on Monday?
No.
So
he may have been last night, but I wasn't there.
His mechanics were – don't know where they came from. There would be an open receiver. He'd fling his hip open. The ball would be all arm, and it would sail, and there would be a pick.
I mean, that first pick, though, it's like he didn't have anything on it.
No, he didn't have anything on it. He didn't step into anything. Yes, he was running away from pressure, but he knows better than to do those things.
Yeah.
And I don't know why he was doing them.
And that's why, I wrote this on Monday. Like, I feel like he's regressed, and I don't blame him for that. I blame coaching. Like, you know what I mean? I don't even know, man. Like, I just don't know enough about the nuances of, you kind of talk over people's heads, and that's why we love you, because you teach us. You know what I mean? And I throw me into the same category as our listeners. But I don't know why he's regressed. The only thing I can blame on that is coaching.
I was talking with Arnaud earlier. Arnaud and Spears, we just have a group chat that every once in a while we'll just toss stuff in and just let.
Can I get in on this?
It's a players thing.
Let me be a groupie. I'm just joking.
And Austin was just saying that it's a confidence thing. Like,
yeah, you know you can do it. It's like Cole Nettin.
Yeah, it's like Cole Nettin. It's like a pitcher, like someone like take Clayton Kershaw, and I think he pitched pretty well last night.
Yes, he did.
But in his previous playoff appearances, it's not that he doesn't have confidence; it's that he doesn't have the same amount of confidence that he should or that he normally does have. So with Sam, because it's just a position that you can't guess, you can't be any type of wrong. And if you're gonna be wrong, be wrong 100% of the way. Because then it's going to end up better than if you're 50% in and you're going to miss something. So I think it's a confidence thing with Sam, and I don't know. I mean, I hope that he gets it back. And, knowing Sam, he's a guy that's going to analyze everything, every single thing that he did. Like, he's going to watch every snap he did on film from about five different angles.
At this point, is that even constructive?
I don't know.
I mean, rewatching that game?
I wouldn't.
I mean, he's a fifth-year senior.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of teaching that should be done at the, you know what I mean? Like, if I were him, I'd just watch the Kansas game over. Well, I mean, he wasn't that good in that game either. That's the problem.
It sucks. Yeah.
I hope
he gets back.
I do too. But I think it's Joel Anning time. I don't think they'll start Lanning, but I think Brett Meyer tweeted at me on Saturday night, and I love Brett's football analysis. Brett is an underrated analyst, I think, and he's got
smart
a bright
dude.
Future. Yeah, he is. And he especially in analyzing the quarterback position. I mean, he's as good of a quarter. Him and Sage are about as good of the guys I've talked to. Brett's very high on playing them both from here on out. Kind of what they've been doing, but in a more of a
50-50
yeah.
set.
Which, whatever, I don't even care. Maybe that is the best thing to
isn't
do.
Isn't Ohio State doing the Cardale and JT now?
Honestly, I've quit watching Ohio State because their games are so incredibly boring. They're playing these awful teams. They're underachieving. I haven't watched them since Indiana, half of Indiana.
The stat sheet looked like they're playing Cardale.
Yeah, they are. I know they're playing
Cardale from like the 20 to the 20, and they're playing JT when you get inside the 20.
Interesting.
I think that's what it looked like. Like a running, like me. Like putting me in the red zone, but at quarterback.
Don't even talk to me about Iowa State's running back subs.
Oh, really? That must be frustrating for you as a fan.
It just drives me insane. I just, like, I want them to explain to me what they're doing, but they can't. Like, they're just, they don't.
Well, they did it right on Saturday. The running back subs made sense on Saturday. Finally. Like, this past couple games, yes, they've sort of kind of done one or two things that were a little bit questionable. But for the most part, they're leaving guys in. They're leaving Mike in. And
yeah,
then all of a sudden, when he needs a break, they put him in Josh or they put in Trevor for a little
bit.
Okay,
you're probably right, but I guess the 66-31 score probably took my attention away from
that. Three interceptions and 766 yards of defense, or 766 yards of opposing offense given up. That's what beat you. Not the 320 yards rushing that you had.
Well, that's what's so crazy about that game. The fact that you could run for that much and still lose by that many points.
Mm-hmm.
But like every drive Texas Tech would have would be like 2 minutes, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. It was a bad game. All right, you want to get to your questions on Twitter?
We can. We addressed a couple of them. We had the Ted Flint question, which is Let me find the actual wording. Since the OSU game, how many free beers or drinks have you gotten because of your touchdown? Zero.
You haven't gotten a free beer?
Nope. Zero.
Well, we need to put an end to that.
Well, I don't feel comfortable like taking free beverages from random people.
Why? Because of the NCAA?
Well, when I was in college, yeah, the NCAA. But now...
Those bastards.
But now, I just don't feel comfortable taking a random drink
from
a stranger.
Why, are you scared that somebody's going to roofie you?
Not that I'm going to roofie, but they're going to give me like, oh, I'll buy a drink. Here's a Fireball and apple cider vinegar drink. It's awesome.
You don't like the Fireball and apple cider vinegar?
Just, I don't want to take something like that from somebody. I just don't.
What if I would offer you an ice cold Busch Light?
Does it have a Cyclone Fanatic koozie on it?
It has the koozie, and it is the commemorative hunting can for the year 2015.
I'm in.
Damn right. That's a travesty, Jeff. You need to start taking these free drinks.
I don't feel comfortable just taking like handouts. Like I don't want to just take something from somebody. Like, you know, somebody, you know, if I go help
somebody. Are you going political?
No, not in the least bit.
Are you going Jack Whitford on us right now?
No, not in the least bit.
Okay.
No, not even close.
That's kind of what it sounded like.
No, this was I don't want to take, like, if I help you, like, if you, hey, can you come help me, you know, redoing a house, or I'm getting my yard picked up. Can you come help? And I'm like, all right, sure, I'll come pick up. Like even in that situation, like I don't feel comfortable taking a gift in thank you for that because I don't feel like I need it because it's just doing a favor.
Well, I know.
So if I know situation, if someone buys me a drink, I'm like, well, that's.
You got to realize though that a lot of these Cyclone fans, they like it means a lot to them to be able to buy you a drink, so then they can go and tell their buddies, yeah, I bought Jeff Woody a beer.
If that situation arises, I would not oppose it, but know that it makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Oh, you need to nip that in the bud. I mean, I'm not saying like you just...
Hey, Jeff Woody's in the building. Somebody buy me a drink.
I'm not saying you need to like milk this thing for the next 20 years, but I mean, my God, get a free beer out of it.
I'm going to wear my jersey into Wallabies in 2048.
Hey,
remember
my daughter's in college here.
2011?
I was in 2011, 35 years ago. You remember that game? Buy me something at the bar.
At least you had that game, though.
Sir, you're freaking me out a little bit.
You know, like, think about how cool that is, and like, you'll be able to show your grandkids that someday.
That is actually cool.
That's very cool.
I didn't get the ball. I didn't keep the ball, which is still one of the greatest regrets.
Who has the ball?
don't know, somebody. They probably auctioned it off.
Which is bull crap.
But what I do have still are my cleats. Like, I saved those. I didn't wear them for the rest of the year.
Do you have one of the towels from that night?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, if not, I would give you my, I have mine in a frame, but I would give it to you.
We have two of them, actually.
Okay, good.
And
you have, like, a program, anything like that?
Yeah, we had the program. It was a senior night program. We had a program, I got the towel, and I have my shoes. So I still have those things. So I have commemorative memorabilia from that game, but I don't have the ball specifically, which is I'm upset about. If you know where that ball is and that person would be willing to give it up, I would be willing to pay for that ball.
You shouldn't have to pay for it.
Just saying. If anybody knows where one of those game-used balls are, specifically the one that I used and that last one, is a call. I would love to have that ball back. Cyclone Fanatic, see if we can make that pull.
All right, we'll see. All right, what else do we have from...
I did like this from Darian Van Wyk, or Darren Van Wyk, not Darian. Darren Van Wyk said, what offense do you run to counter a blitz with press coverage, third and short versus third and long? The great thing about that is you can run a lot of different stuff into a blitz. You just need to do the right thing. So it kind of depends on the blitz. So I love this. I love that question because I like talking X's and O's. And you know that, Chris.
I do.
But the against a blitz, which you're probably going to see quite a bit of on Saturday because TCU doesn't have the dudes now because of all the injuries to just rush four and get pressure. So you're going to see some type of creative blitz. So say they bring an outside linebacker, that you have to look at where that guy is vacating and who's going to have to fill his spot. Because a blitz, in its essence, is taking a second or third level defender and bringing him to the first level. Which Iowa State did none of, which is another thing that I think Wally would do over, which if I was a D coordinator, and again, Wally's been coaching for far longer than I have, and he has a reason for why he's doing it, but I would have not done that. Anyway, if you're facing a blitz as an offense, and you know that a guy is vacating from, say, that outside linebacker position, well, at some point, that space that he's vacating is going to be open. It's going to close quickly from someone else filling it, whether it's safety or a linebacker, but you have to understand that if he's coming this way, then that means the guy that is supposed to be there is no longer there. So you have a hole in the defense that's been opened up by expecting a blitz. So what you can do is you can either run directly into the teeth of it if you've got enough people to go to block one for one. If mm-hmm. you know where the blitz is coming from, you can run directly into the teeth of a blitz, and you're either going to get 0 yards if the blitzer or another lineman comes off the block. But if you get through that initial line, because they're taking someone out of the second and third level of defense, there is a huge pocket to run through. So you're either getting 0 yards or you're getting almost an automatic 10. So you can either run directly into the blitz or you can throw where he's vacated. Because in a blitzing situation, you're not going to have like really favorable matchups all over the place because, again, you don't have anyone to kind of fade wherever they need to be.
Is this one reason why they would have been hesitant to put Joel Lanning in and just stuff like that?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think Coach Mangino said that he's getting more comfortable with Joel doing those things, but that's the stuff that you have to – you can't have any hesitancy towards that because – say, again, the situation where you have four down linemen, you have two linebackers and a nickel, and the nickel is going to blitz. Well, that means that probably the safety is going to roll over to that guy that he's supposed to be covering. So, but where the opening is, instead of the defensive player playing 4 yards off the receiver, he's now at 9 yards off the receiver. So it's still the same coverage, it's just deeper. So I know that my opportunity is right there. So when I run this play, I have to know, A, that I'm protected long enough to throw this ball, or B, I'm not protected long enough to throw this ball, and I've got to throw hot to this person right now. So there are certain just different checks that you can exploit defenses when they blitz if you know where the blitz is coming from, but sometimes you get caught in the wrong thing. So that, say, they're blitzing from the right side. Well, if you slide your protection all the way to the left, then you're – not only are you not protecting that guy, you're leaving someone else open too. So you have to see where the blitz is coming from, and you have to make sure the blitz is protected with everything. So it depends on what blitz is coming, but there are exploitations you can make to said blitz.
Here's a theory. You tell me if I potentially could be onto something. With the bend but don't break that we've discussed, when you're playing 10, 12 yards off the ball, and the guy makes a catch in front of you, you have little time to get any momentum attacking that player.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when you're calling more blitzes, when you're doing more than just sending the three down linemen. Does that is that a message to your team? Does it make it easier as a defensive player to be aggressive? Paul Rhodes said something on Monday along the lines of the guys were intimidated or anything. You know what I mean? But, like, could part of that be, okay, well, if you call a little more aggressive of a game plan defensively, maybe that won't happen? Because to me, like, those are really athletic guys. It's like, say Jarvis West, one of the shiftiest guys we've ever had at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. Well, if I get a running start at Jarvis West, I feel like you may have a better chance to make the tackle as opposed to letting Jarvis West catch the ball 5 yards in front of you, and then you got to go get him.
Well, yeah, and
when you're on your back of your feet, you know what I mean?
And the thing with blitzing, and especially Texas Tech, is Pat Mahomes, I think I saw, like, was it like Sports Illustrated or maybe it was the ESPN Big 12, said that Pat Mahomes is the hardest quarterback to take down statistically, hardest one to get on the ground. So if you know that he's the hardest one to get on the ground, you can't send – you can't let him have time because he's just going to keep standing. And at some point, you guys have played enough backyard football that you know what? You can only cover somebody for so long, and then all of a sudden somebody's going to be open. If he has enough time to throw, he's going to find that person. So your goal, I think, as a defense
– which is obvious on that J.D. Wagner where he was at his shoestring and then they threw the touchdown.
Yeah, he had 9 seconds to throw the ball.
Yeah.
I think as a defense, what makes your job easier in making tackles is if you get a quarterback, if you can get the offense off rhythm, then Jarvis West doesn't have time to catch, look up the field, set up his move, and then make his move. Then he has snap, look, ball. Then he has to somehow situate himself before he gets down the field. So if it's me, and I, the tricky part about this game, this next game, I think that scheme would work a little bit better against Baylor because I don't think Seth Russell, he's a really good runner, but he's not Trevon Boykin. This week is a little bit rough. Excuse me. But this week's a little bit rough because Trevon Boykin's the fastest dude on the field.
Yeah.
So you blitz him, and you get out of your gap for just like half a second because you're running. He finds that crease and runs for 60 yards like he did against Kansas State.
Just let Jay Jones spy him the whole time.
The entire time. Well, Jay Jones didn't have the greatest game on Saturday either.
No, but I'm just trying to think of anybody in Iowa State's.
Kamari's the only one to be really able to keep up with him.
Yeah.
And then you got to take Kamari out of that.
That's the problem, though. He's so valuable.
Right. Elsewhere.
I mean, I don't think Jordan Harris played a great game.
That was probably
his worst game of the year.
Dale Pearson didn't have a great game.
Most of those guys had their worst game. What about DeMond? Did he do anything?
Yeah. I mean, he was beating people up, but he was only in there for so long because they were running up and down the field so much.
Yeah, he was getting pretty tired. All right, you got any other questions?
There was, I think there was one more. Got to open my phone up again.
That's all good. Little tease, sweet story. Rob Gray's got on Monte Morris coming up later on today. So he's been working on this for a couple of weeks. It's really good.
And any story about Monte Morris.
You guys will really enjoy it. It'll be – Rob's an awesome feature writer.
Well, I think this is the one that I was going to say, is if ISU was to throw out the offensive playbook right now, what offensive identity would breed success for 10 years? Brand build. If it's me, you don't want to play the game that Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU, Texas, Oklahoma. You're not going to be able to play that game because you can't. You can't host guys from Texas on unofficial visits every weekend. You're not going to be able to get the same dudes.
That's what people don't understand about recruiting and the geography thing, and they say it's a bunch of bull. Well, what's not bull is when Baylor has 50 dudes taking an unofficial every game day weekend. Those dudes aren't going to pay their way to come up to Ames on a October Saturday, you know, in the unofficial world.
Right.
That's the key. But official visits are very overrated anymore.
Where I call bull on the recruiting thing is Bill Snyder's done it. Don't try and play the same game.
Yeah, exactly. And Bill's not trying to run that system.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah, that's the to throw out the playbook, to throw out everything, is you have to do what you're able to do. So you're not able to do everything. I mean, say – I don't know, take some type of company, for example. Say you're not able to provide your Baskin-Robbins. You're going up against Baskin-Robbins. You can't deal with 32 flavors. You can't have that many things. But what you can do is you can make five really good flavors of ice cream and let the quality of those speak for itself. It's a different business model. It's going, trying to take into, cut into Baskin Robbins thing by doing something better than they do in a different way than they do. With Iowa State, it's the same way in Kansas State that you cannot win the recruiting trails on those 4 or 5-star wide receiver. You're not going to get KD Cannon to Ames. You're not going to get KD Cannon to Manhattan. It's just not going to happen. He's not going to Ohio State.
No.
He's staying down the South somewhere in Texas because he can see everything that week. Now, what you can do is you can do something like Snyder where you're going to do something to negate all of that presence, to maintain the ball. And I was talking to somebody earlier this week. It's actually Casey Shelton. He's a former offensive tackle, played for the Chiefs for a while. We were talking, and he goes, "Why don't you get a quarter? Why don't you get a assistant that runs the eye?" And I'm like, "Well, it just wouldn't work in the Big 12." And he goes, "Why not?" And I thought, "Well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would it not work?" Say it doesn't necessarily have to be an eye system, but something to that effect. Of
what about Calhoun at Air Force?
Calhoun at Air Force or Paul Johnson?
That's my guy, Paul
Johnson. It doesn't necessarily have to be. I think that's maybe a step a little bit too far.
That's pretty extreme, but.
But something like a Kansas State or something like an offense, even a style like Iowa, where you are not necessarily going to be running a true eye set, but you're going to be running something that has the capacity to slow down. Run the ball, slow down. You've got a running back. You get a running back that's going to tote the rock 35 times a game. Eat the clock, eat the everything that you want. Because what did Bloom had a stat the other day? The winningest team in the past 5 years in the Big 12?
Kansas State.
Yeah. You don't have to play that game. Play the game that you can play. Eat the ball. Make sure you, if you give up points on defense, fine. But you're going to make the other opposing offense uncomfortable by what you do on offense.
What about, you think Tom Osborne would come out of retirement?
To go to Iowa State? He's going to take Mike Riley's job if he comes out.
Spurrier,
hell, the head ball coach.
Get Sarkisian, get him back going. He can recruit.
He can recruit. Hey, we take a fallen star.
Would you sign up if Steve Sarkisian wanted to come to Iowa State?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I probably would too.
Because he runs that pro style set, which is able to move slowly.
Let's hope he gets healthy first.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about that.
You know what's insane about that whole situation is, and I don't really want to like get too much politically into this, but the fact
sounds
that
like you're about to.
Hayden didn't talk to Sarkisian, didn't fire him personally in person because he couldn't get a hold of him because he was in rehab. So he had checked into a rehab facility and they take your phone.
Yeah.
So he didn't know he was fired until he talked to Hayden talked to one of Sarkisian's family members and fired him.
Yeah, I heard that Sarkisian got a text on a plane, is what I read.
I heard that he didn't hear from him personally because he was...
No, yeah, he didn't get it personally. Like a friend or a family member texted him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Which is nuts. Because, like, change the term alcoholism to bipolar depression, or change the term alcoholism to a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to cause different behaviors. It's going to cause stuff that you're not familiar with. Change alcoholism to brain tumor and see if that flies. So I don't want to get too deep into that, but it's insane that Sarkisian got fired via text.
It's troubling.
I think Pat Hayden is he's going to potentially be looking for a job at some point.
There's no way that guy is the AD there next year. Is there?
Because he let Pete Carroll go, didn't he? Like, he was the one that was...
Well, he's never really done anything. And then you look at his basketball hires.
Yeah.
They've been a disaster. And Andy Enfield's never going to win.
Dunk City, man.
Yeah. Man, talk about a guy...
Capitalizing
catching on... lightning in a bottle. And former Cyclone Eric McKnight was on that team.
Really? Good for him.
You remember Eric?
Nope.
Nor do many.
But you know who does? Chris Williams.
Guess what? I have a voicemail from the Iowa Clinic Men's Center with my blood test results from my physical.
They took out 6 liters of blood.
Hopefully everything's okay.
They were
just checking like my kidney function and all that.
Okay.
I don't think they did like a hardcore one.
So how did your kidney function properly?
I urinate after all the time.
Wedding, after that wedding, how was your kidney function?
Oh, on Saturday?
Yeah.
I had a few pops.
A few sody pops?
Yeah. May have had one when I put out my Todd Sturdy tweet.
That's a Bush Light induced tweet. I feel like there's more Bush Light induced tweets.
However, I can also say that I probably would have. I'm very confident that I would have tweeted that out anyway.
Sturdy's just a good dude.
Well, I think, I mean, my whole point, it's nothing against Mark Mangino. It's nothing against Sam Richardson. Got to try something different. That's all it is. It's like the five easiest games are behind you. At this point, what do you really have to lose?
Yeah.
But I don't know enough about
If personalities were to be totally removed and people were to be totally removed and what I know about people would be totally removed, I think it would be fun to see what Joel could do. But I also know what Sam is capable of. But I think it would just be fun to see what an offense would look like with Joel in the chance that he would get it. I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's bad.
That's my deal. I'm not saying you put Lanning in and they're going to win five games the rest of the year. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like at this point I'm pretty – I know what Sam Richardson's capable of. And I just – I don't know if it's good enough anymore. But we'll see. Jeff, thanks for your time, man.
My pleasure.
It's always fun. We've got pregame on Saturday,
3 p.m. because 6 p.m. kick.
Yep, that'll be a doozy.
Yep, I'll have bring the jackets because I think it's gonna hit that fall weather. Be nice and cool, 50 something.
Brisk.
A nip in the air.
Yeah, football weather.
It's great. It's the best weather.
Jeff Woody weather.
Phenomenal.
He's Jeff. I'm Chris. Later, dudes.